It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, and we've been asking you to tell us about the time you told a lie, and it turned out to be a good thing.
This is Robbie from Salt Lake City, Utah. I've lied on pretty much every job interview ever, and I've gotten the job, so I'll probably continue to do that. However, I think it's a little bit weird saying that the system is set up on lying. The employee doesn't necessarily want my authentic self.
Robbie from Salt Lake City, you're onto something here, because especially in the workplace, bosses, leaders, they're told all the time, leadership means being open and honest, being as transparent and accessible as possible. Always shoot straight. That's what a lot of the champion executive books and almost the entire leadership training industry says. Except it's BS. Really, according to the book Leadership BS, Fixing Workplaces and Careers One Truth at a Time, author Jeffrey Pfeffer says the truth about good leaders is that they're often really, really good liars.
What makes individuals successful is oftentimes the opposite of what people have been told to do. So while we're told to be modest and honest and take care of others and not self-promote, when you look at actually what produces leadership success, at least the success is defined by career advancement and achieving a high salary, it's pretty much the opposite of that.
So self-promotion, I understand. You've got to be able to sell yourself. You've got to be probably political. You've got to be willing to put yourself in front of others. But you said honest, that leaders shouldn't necessarily be honest.
Some of the greatest and most successful leaders in the history of business, and for that matter, politics, have not always told the truth. Abraham Lincoln, in order to settle the Civil War, was not completely honest about where the Southern delegation was. James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, when asked about whether or not national intelligence agencies were intercepting communications from the part of American citizens, didn't tell the truth, as we learned from Edward Snowden. And by the way, Mr. Clapper still has his job. Certainly Steve Jobs, with the idea of the reality distortion field. And in the software business generally, we have the idea of vaporware, which is this concept that when you ask a software producer about the product availability and its features, you may not get 100% an accurate or truthful response.
All right. Well, I've got a couple of examples for you, Jeffrey Pfeffer. If you're game, why don't you field a couple of powerful lies here and let's deconstruct them. How about it?
That sounds great.
All right. Listen to this one.
Under our proposal, if you like your doctor, you keep your doctor. If you like your current insurance, you keep that insurance. Period. End of story.
And that's President Obama selling the Affordable Care Act back in 2009. Jeffrey Pfeffer, we all know that that has now been recorded by history as a pretty famous political lie.
Well, I think that's an example that's actually not dissimilar to the Lincoln example I mentioned earlier, that sometimes in order to get a proposal accepted, you can't necessarily tell everything quite accurately about that proposal. So when Lincoln wanted to settle the Civil War, he had to make some lies about the Southern delegation and what the Southerners were willing to accept. When Obama wants to sell health care for everyone, he has to probably distort a little bit about some of the specifics of that health care plan.
Is that to imply that, you know, insurance for 25 or 30 million people is worth a presidential lie?
Absolutely, in my opinion.
All right, let's try another one.
Year after year, Saddam Hussein has gone to elaborate lengths, spent enormous sums, taken great risks to build and keep weapons of mass destruction.
No doubt about it. 2003, President George W. Bush at the State of the Union address, also another famous recorded lie of history. Probably President Bush felt like it was necessary.
That may be, but in both that case and the Obama case, one of the questions is not does a statement after the fact turn out to be inaccurate, but whether or not someone knows the statement is incorrect at the moment they're making it. And there are some people who believe that George Bush actually believed at the moment he was making that statement that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and that it was only in hindsight that they learned that they didn't. So a lie is telling something that you know not to be true at the moment you say it. And by the way, there's still plenty of examples of that as well, such as the tobacco industry executives testifying that they did not know about their own studies that smoking caused cancer when it turns out in hindsight that they did, or many of the financial industry executives at the time of the financial crisis saying that their balance sheets were in great shape and that and some of the banks saying that they would not have to raise extra capital, even though they knew that that was not the case.
So let's take a corporate lie ripped right out of the headline. finds Jeffrey Pfeffer, Volkswagen, which for many, many years perpetrated a lie by installing their malicious software into their cars that lied about the emissions of their diesel cars. We've all heard about that. That's a long-term lie. The cars are sort of lying on behalf of the people who made the decision. And then once they were caught, VW kind of laid everything out, said, yep, we lied. They came clean right away. There's a lot to unpack there in the annals of corporate mendacity.
There is a lot to unpack in the annals of corporate mendacity. Volkswagen is only one of many, including Volkswagen itself in an earlier version, who have tried to get around regulations on emissions and mileage by not always doing things on the up and up. But that's really kind of a, if you will, a technical lie, not a lie in a technical sense, but a lie in the sense that they have reprogrammed equipment to work not as quite as it was supposed to.
Right, but that sounds euphemistic. They've reprogrammed equipment to work not the way it was supposed to, but all of the advertisements, the sales job, everybody who drives that car during the terms of their ownership thinks that they're driving something different than what they're driving. It's much more than just a couple of lines of code.
That is correct. If you compare that, again, it's hard to know exactly who in Volkswagen did this or authorized it. But to go back to Ralph Nader, unsafe at any speed, uncovering the safety defects and an excess number of deaths from driving the Corvair, and General Motors denied those safety numbers. So lying in the auto industry has, again, a long and glorious or inglorious, depending upon your perspective, history and tradition. And one of the interesting questions you ought to ask then is, why does that go on? And why has this persisted over now 40 or 50 years? And let me suggest that one of the answers is because we do not criminalize that behavior in the sense that, yes, VW is going to pay, I don't know how many multiple billions of dollars, way more than the $7 billion that they have set aside. But I will guarantee you, with almost no fear of contradiction, no executive is going to go to jail.
And you've made the point pretty clearly in this book that there really isn't a lot of downside to lying at this level, even though we wish there were. And I kind of had to look at myself, Jeffrey Pfeffer. You know, a lot of what you're writing about rubs me the wrong way as a journalist. I'm not naive. I know that politicians, the people I cover, I know that they lie. But the entire point of my career, the entire point of this show is truth telling. I can't have you on this radio show to say there's no downside. Get over it. Everybody does it. It's the way the world works. Goodbye. You know?
Well, if you want to change the world, you first have to understand how it is. And lying is common. Surveys show that the average person lies twice a day. Lying is often done to smooth over social relationships. If your partner says, does this outfit make me look fat? The correct answer is no. Do you love me as much as the day we first met 20 or 30 years ago? The correct answer is yes. So it doesn't do very much good to say thou shalt not lie. That's an interesting admonition, and it's probably a good one. But if we're going to create a world in which there's less lying, we need to understand why it occurs and what the sanctions are or are not for engaging in it.
Jeffrey Pfeffer is professor of organizational behavior at Stanford, and he's author of Leadership BS, Fixing Workplaces and Careers One Truth at a Time. Jeffrey Pfeffer, thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Well, now that you've heard all about why leaders lie in the workplace, it's a good time to think about why you fudge the truth. Here are your closing thoughts on lying and whether it's always worth it.
This is Mary in New Jersey. So in 2008, in the midst of the recession, I got pulled over for talking on my phone while driving. Being pulled over terrifies me to the point of tears all on its own. So I rode that wave, telling the officer a lie that my husband had just called to tell me he was laid off, that we'd been waiting all day to hear his fate. And so when the phone rang, I just reflexively picked up the call without thinking about it. I nailed the performance. But I did worry afterwards about being kind of a psychopath.
So lying with a conscience, you're not a psychopath, Mary. No way. You can call us at 8778-MY-TAKE. You can tell the truth. You can tell lies. We'll sort them out. You can tweet us at The Takeaway as well. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry, hopefully with the truth all the time, or at least 95% of it. This is The Takeaway.